Hear now the word of God. We are reading today from the third section of Psalm 119. That's verses 17 through 24. Hear the word of God. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He add His richest blessings to our reading and hearing and understanding of it this day. In this third section of Psalm 119, King David is showing his continued delight in the law of God and his delight in spite of opposition that comes from those who are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, whether that would be common men or even rulers of his people. Just like David, you also, Christian, must realize that your entire life is in the hands of Almighty God. And it is yours solely on the basis of the grace that God gives to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David prays for God to deal bountifully with him. That's a prayer that he prays and that you must pray also, in which you recognize that you are asking God to act kindly toward you. Now, bountifully here does not mean give me money. David is not praying for vast wealth. Nor should you be praying for that either. This is not the type of prayer that you might hear some prosperity gospel preacher praying or telling you that you need to pray. Indeed, what this is a prayer for God's bounty in terms of what David mentions here, which is that he may continue to live by the grace of God and that he may continue to form his life in accordance with the revealed will of God, which is the Word of God. And so his prayer for God to deal bountifully is for God to deal graciously with him so that he might continue to live and so that he might continue to live faithfully in service to God as he brings his life into conformity with the law of God that is presented in Holy Scripture. And so you're asking God to do the same. You're asking God to deal kindly with you. You are asking God in His kindness to deal with you, not because you deserve it. David didn't ask it because he deserves it, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the goodness of God that is given to you and to other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not on the basis of your merits, but on the basis of His holy righteousness. God's grace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are asking God to be gracious to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. God dealt with David in the past in this bountiful, kind, gracious way. And so David is asking for the Lord to continue to do so. He is praying that God will continue to deal with him as he has dealt with him in the past. God does not change. And that's a marvelous promise for us. However, also at the same time, though we can count on the fact that God does not change, we must not presume on God's grace all the time, thinking, well, I can go ahead and sin, and I know that God has to be gracious to me. No, that is never an option. The Apostle Paul clearly tells us when he asked that question in the letter to the Romans, shall we sin that grace may increase? May it never be. God forbid that we would ever think such a thing. And so David is not thinking, God has to be gracious to me, and therefore I can go ahead and sin however I want. And you must not ever think the same thing either, Christian. You must not presume upon the grace of God in order to give yourself license to sin, but rather you should always call upon God to be gracious to you and trust that as He has been gracious in the past to you in Jesus Christ, so He will also continue to be gracious to you in the present and in the future as well. Now, David's prayer request, asking God to be bountifully disposed toward him, to be gracious toward him, to be kind toward him, is so that I may live and keep your word. And so David recognized, as you and I ought to recognize, that his entire life was entirely dependent upon the grace of Almighty God. And so you also must see that your life is given to you by God. It is sustained by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are to seek to live your life for a particular purpose, just as David did. Your life is given to you by grace so that you might keep God's holy word. That's what David prayed. That's what you ought to pray as well, Christian. You need to realize that you are to both love God and obey God's word in what is commanded of you in Holy Scripture. Now, that's difficult for all of us because of sin. It's impossible for sinners who are apart from Christ to ever even begin to keep God's word. But for those of us who have been redeemed by Christ, who have been born again, who have new hearts and new lives and new dispositions, and are enabled by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to begin to serve Christ and to live for Christ, we can begin to seek to live our lives in accordance with the Word of God, but it is a continual battle. And the reason it's a battle is because there is still sin dwelling within us. And so we struggle against the temptations and the sins that well up from within, as well as temptations that come upon us from without, fight those off and to seek to live lives that please God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must always pray, as David prayed, for faithfulness on your part to be instilled in you and encouraged in you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the point that David is making is that all of the life of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be lived in accordance with the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is the rule. It is the standard by which you are to lead your life, Christian. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you to begin to live according to that holy standard. And the image of Christ is the model into which the Holy Spirit is molding you so that you spiritually are being conformed to the image of Christ, so that you begin to resemble your Savior in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. That is the process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit is working in you day by day. And He's conforming you and molding you into the image of Christ, and therefore it's in keeping with the Word of God. So David prays to live before God by God's grace and keep the Word of God by God's grace as well. And so it is a prayer for faithfulness that you and I must pray at all times. This prayer for the grace of God is also a prayer for spiritual sight. David goes on and says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." What you need is the Holy Spirit to give you spiritual sight. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, who wrote a series of sermons on Psalm 119 back in the 1650s, remarked that the problem here was that David needed not a clearer law, but a better vision to be able to see what God had already declared in His holy law. In other words, the idea was not God's law is unclear and foggy and hard to see, but rather my eyes are bad and I cannot see. That's what he's getting at. I recently went to the eye doctor myself. I've got some cataracts developing, and we had a discussion about having those cataracts removed. Right now, if it's extremely bright during the day, I have no real problem, but as the light begins to fail, my eyes have a harder and harder time seeing and focusing. And so it's not that the moon is not bright enough at night, it's that my eyes are not good enough to be able to see at night as I should. I need to have eye surgery. I need to have cataract surgery. And what Thomas Manton was saying that David is praying is that what we all need is spiritual eye surgery to be able to see clearly the wonderful things that are portrayed in the law. The law is clear. When the law is read and proclaimed, it is like a light being switched on in a dark room before men. But the problem is it's being switched on in a room full of blind men. The light can be ever so bright in a room full of blind men, they simply still cannot see. You can turn the volume of the light up. You can get it as bright as possible, and still they will be unable to see because they are blind. And so what a blind man needs is not more light switched on. It's not another bank of LEDs. It's not another light. It's not a brighter sun. It is rather new eyes, eyes to actually be able to behold the light that is there. And so the law of God that burns very brightly burns with the great revelation of Almighty God. And yet because men are born blind in sin, unable to see, we all need to be healed of our spiritual blindness by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Christ is the one who himself said that he is the light of the world. He is the one who gives spiritual sight. And so David prayed, and you also ought to pray, Christian, that God would give you eyes to see spiritually. Open my eyes, he prays, because without that you have no spiritual sight. Now, literally what David prays is, unveil my eyes. In other words, this unveiling is a twofold work. It is the removal of a veil and then the infusion of light into the eyes. And that is a work that is done by God's Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in the second letter to the Corinthians, speaks about the unconverted Jews of his day in this way. He says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 through 16, "But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." And so it's in Christ and it's through Christ that this veil of darkness that prevents us from being able to see the truth, from being able to see God, from being able to understand His law, from being able to come to Christ, that veil is removed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That veil is a veil of ignorance. It's a veil of unregenerate knowledge. It's a veil of prejudice. It's a veil of all kinds of corrupt lusts and desires. And it has to be removed, and it is removed by the Holy Spirit through Christ. And then wonderful things are shown. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law, David prays. And so those wonderful things are such things as a clear sight of God's truth that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the very image of Almighty God, and we see wonderful things about God in and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a confirming sight of the application of those truths to your life. You see clearly that God has applied Christ and His benefits to you through faith. It is a warming sight that delights your heart in the things of God so that your heart wells up with gratitude and love and emotion for God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see a little bit more about that in just a minute. And it is also a warning sight because as you read the law of God, you see the judgment of God against sin and against sinners. And so all of those things are unveiled. They are wonderful things in the law of God that cannot be seen by the natural man. He has to have eyes to see, and the Holy Spirit gives spiritual sight in this way. And therefore, you pray for that, you need that, and God will grant that to you. David goes on and indicates that this prayer also involves a request from God for direction in his life. He says, "I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." So spiritual sight is necessary because you are a stranger here on earth. Earth is not your home. Heaven is your home as a Christian. And so just like a foreigner is a stranger in a different country, and a foreigner needs a guidebook, a foreigner needs a roadmap in order to know what to look for and a way to find his way about in this strange place, you as a Christian need God's guidebook, which is the Holy Bible, and you need God's roadmap, which is the law that sets forth his decrees, that sets forth his will for our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will know how to navigate in this fallen world of sin and live lives that are pleasing to God through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need his roadmap, you need his guidebook, you need all of those things, and they are found in the commandments of God so that you can go to him and live for him. So David prays, "Do not hide your commandments from me." He needs those commandments to be able to avoid the pitfalls of this life. You need the commandments of God, Christian, so that you will know what is right and what is wrong. You cannot take as your guidebook or as your rule of life the way people around you live, because increasingly our society is becoming more and more depraved and decadent. And so if you model your life after unregenerate neighbors, you will continue to live in sin and even spiral further down into sin. If you even attempt to lead your life according to what you think is best, you can become mistaken, for our own consciences and our own hearts betray us. We will find ourselves being led astray by desires that we have that go contrary to what God's holy law says. And so we need to be always looking at the commandments of God for correction in our lives to know the way we ought to go, and looking to the Holy Spirit for the power to follow after that way through faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the commandments of God to live a righteous life in a world that is fallen, a world of sin. You're a pilgrim here below, and just like in Pilgrim's Progress, your destination is the celestial city. It is the New Jerusalem. It is heaven itself. But in order to be able to get there, you need God's directions and his roadmap. You need a guide who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need all of these things given to you so that you will be able to follow your Savior as he sets the example for you, as he brings you to himself in faith, and then brings you to himself in heaven as well. And so you can't trust the world, because the world will lead you in the opposite way from the way in which you ought to go. This is and ought to be your soul's greatest desire. "My soul is crushed with longing," David cries, "after your ordinances at all times." So David confessed that to God that his soul was filled with longing for the ordinances of God all the time. And as a Christian, your soul should be filled with that longing as well. When he uses that term, crushed with longing, it means to be overwhelmed with desire. Now, the reason that David prays for enlightenment is to see the law more clearly, and he has this overwhelming desire that God has placed within him, a longing after the judgments and the ordinances of God. David was longing for the ways that God enacts his holy judgment and justice in this world. And that's talking about the rules. It's talking about the regulations by which God governs the universe, governs the world, and governs his moral creatures, men and angels, and the way in which he governs us. He gives us his law. And so it involves the law, it involves the commandments, and it involves the judicial actions that God enacts when he enforces his law among men. And so you are to long for the ways in which God deals with his people in grace, as well as long for the way that God deals with rebellious sinners through His almighty justice. Both justice and grace go together, and the longing for the judgments of God includes a longing for both of those things. Having prayed for God's bountiful grace, David continues his prayer in asking for God's wonderful protection of him at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. You see, longing for a display of God's dealings with sinners in his justice has caused David to think about how God rebukes sinners in their sin. Those who are arrogant because of their sinful pride, they think that they know best how to lead their lives in a way that pleases them. They're not really concerned about whether it pleases God or not. And so they desire to simply live lives that give them pleasure. They are puffed up with pride. They are arrogant, thinking that they can control everything. And they are cursed, David says, in relationship to God's holy covenant because of their sinful rebellion against Almighty God. And so the arrogant, the proud, are those who are also cursed, and they are wandering from God's commandments. Who wander from your commandments, it says. Now, sinners tend to wander from God's commandments. We've seen that that's a danger for us as Christians as well. We looked at the last section of this, a second section from Psalm 119, and we saw that we are prone to wander like lost sheep, and therefore Christ seeks us and Christ saves us. He saves his own because he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And now we see here that unregenerate sinners also wander away from God, but this is both a cause and a judgment on them for their sinful rebellion. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to see both God's grace given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ and his judgments poured out upon the wicked who continue in sinful rebellion against his word as being blessings that come forth from God, as being answers to prayer. And so his judgments are poured out on the wicked. They continue in sinful rebellion. They wander from the truth of God. In some instances, that rebuke of God, you rebuke the arrogant, David says. In some instances, that rebuke of God is designed to bring as yet unconverted elect sinners to repentance and to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for some, that rebuke comes from God, and they are turned, they are repentant, they are converted by the work of the Holy Spirit, and they come to the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. But in other instances, that rebuke of God will serve merely to confirm their rebellion against God and the fact that they are under the judgment of Almighty God against them for their sins. As a believer, however, you should rejoice at the conversion of the wicked as they repent and come to Christ. And also, as a believer, you should tremble before Him when you see His wrath being poured out upon those who do not repent, who continue and reject and refuse God after repeated warnings as well. If God had not opened your eyes to see Him, then you would have continued in the wrong way. If He had not given you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have been among those who wander away from God, and you would have been among those who would receive His just judgment poured out upon you in wrath. But God has been gracious to you, Christian. God has opened your eyes. God has drawn you to Himself through Christ. God has given you repentance. He has given you faith. He has enabled you to turn and to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have escaped that judgment of God because God has poured His wrath out upon His Son in your place. So David thinks about God's rebuke of the wicked, and that makes him think about the fact that men rebuke the righteous. And so he says, "Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies." David, after having thought about how God rebukes sinners, is reminded of how sinners rebuke the righteous. And so he himself was a recipient of such mockery, such scorn, such contempt because of his faith and obedience to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through obedience to the commandments of Almighty God. Wicked sinners who are themselves under the judgment of God heaped scorn upon David because he sought to lead a life full of faith in Christ. That happens for all believers. It's often the case. If it's happening to you, it may be because of your observance of the Word of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly hope that if there is any mockery or any scorn that is heaped upon you, that is the reason, that is the cause, and not because of any sin in your life that deserves to be rebuked, even from the wicked. God can also use that as well. But if you are a recipient of mockery and of scorn and of contempt and of rebuke, may it be for your love for Christ and your obedience to Christ instead. It's expected of you as a Christian that you will receive the same kind of treatment that your Savior received from the hands of wicked men. He led a righteous life and they put him to death upon the cross. And he has told all of us that we should not expect to be treated any better than he was treated when he was mocked and persecuted and eventually killed because of the hatred of sinners against the righteous. And so you also, Christian, do not be surprised if you end up being mocked, if you end up being reviled for believing the Word of God by those who have rejected the Word of God, by those who want to live rebellious lives against the Lord, who want to be free from what they consider to be constraints on their lives that are placed upon them by the Holy Scriptures. But do not ever give up. Do not ever give in before those who mock your Christian faith. Continue to be faithful, for that is what God would have you to do, no matter what the opposition might happen to be. Even rulers plotted against David, and sometimes even rulers plot against the faithful as well. Even though princes sit and talk against me, David says, your servant meditates on your statutes. And so sometimes, as here with David, you may find yourself being targeted by ungodly civil authorities, by rulers who hate Christ and who hate His church and who hate God's Word. We're seeing that overseas in China, obviously, but we're seeing that in some cities and some states in the United States today. Pandemic has lifted the veil of scorn away from some so that now they pour out their whole mockery, their whole scorn, and their whole contempt upon Christ and His church. And so if you are living in one of those states or one of those cities where you are being persecuted by civil rulers, it is something that is not unusual. And therefore, you are to do exactly as David recommends here. You are to continue to remain strong in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are to find the antidote for that persecution from civil rulers and from common mockers by continuing to meditate on the Word of God. Meditate, we saw last time, means to mull over. It means to mutter to yourself the teachings of God, to take all that God says and to turn it around and to look at it from every facet and every direction, to seek to understand all of the nuances and to seek to see how that does indeed apply to your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you want to see those truths applied to you. You want to see how in your situation in life, the things that you are facing in your circumstances, how the Word of God directly applies to you, and God, by His grace, will show those things to you. And it will help calm your soul when you are the target of mockery or the target of persecution. You'll be able to see that God's way of life for His chosen ones is this very thing, to through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. to understand that we will undergo such persecution in this life because our Savior did. And yet we must continue to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue through faith in Him to obey His commandments, and that no matter what may come toward us from common men or from civil authorities, we must continue to hold firmly to the Word of God and obey what God says, no matter what, no matter who says nay. And finally, David says, "Your testimonies also are my delight, they are my counselors." And so you find help in God's holy word. The end result of all of this prayer that David has prayed for God's bountiful blessing, for God's kindness and grace to be showered upon him, for God's protection to be over him in the midst of persecution and mockery, is that you will find the testimonies of the Lord to be both your joy and delight and your counsel. You find them to be joy because they are the decrees and commands of God for His holy ones to live by. And you have come to understand that. You realize that you are to lead a godly life because this is what God would have you to do through Christ. You find in the commandments of God the counsel to live by in a sin-dark world. Literally, what David says about the testimonies of God is, "They are the men of my counsel." Now, in opposition to this, the enemies of King David, the enemies of Christians, have their own, as Thomas Manton put it, privy counsel. They have the counselors they can turn to, they can ask advice of, and these are men who would basically agree with them. They would say, "Oh yes, you're doing exactly the right thing, go for it." We have counselors that are honest. We have counselors that will tell us the truth and will not stroke our egos. We have counselors that tell us when we sin. We have counselors that encourage us when we are doing righteously, and they are impartial because they are the men who wrote the Holy Scriptures, and therefore what they have written remains authoritative and applicable to all of us, and it doesn't change. And so we can turn to the Word of God and we can find counsel from God. We can find counselors in the prophets of the Old Testament. We can find counselors in Abraham and in Moses and in Elijah and Elisha and in Isaiah and Jeremiah and in John the Baptist and in the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, all of the writers and the Christians of the New Testament. We can find counsel from them that does not bend to our will, but seeks to tell us the truth at all times, whether we're in accord with what God says or whether we're out of accord and need to be rebuked by them. And so men of counsel, that's in opposition to men who only bring mocking and scorn upon him for his faith. And so when you're mocked for your faith, Christian, you can turn to the Word of God. You can find counsel from the Word of God to tell you the truth and to encourage you in the way in which you should go to walk in that very way. The saints of old, the holy apostles and prophets, will not pander to your sins. There's much talk about pandering today, and the Word of God does not pander to sinners in their sins. It tells us the truth, rebukes us when we need it, directs us at all times into the way of righteousness that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And so the Word of God will act as counselors to rebuke you and to encourage you and to bring you to repentance and to compel you to follow the commands of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the very counsel that you need to face opposition from all kinds of sinful men, either in high places or men who are neighbors and sometimes even false friends. You need the counsel of God's holy word. God is faithful. He will grant grace. He will enable you to live. He will enable you to live according to His holy word, and He will protect you from the opposition. But He tells you to turn to Him through Christ and to follow after Him and to seek counsel from Him. in the midst of all of these persecutions and trials that you face? Have you done so? Are you trusting in Christ and in Christ alone as your Savior? If you are not, you must turn to Him. Turn to Him today. Turn to Him now. Call upon Him to be merciful to you in Christ, to forgive your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to receive you by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And He will do so. He will not turn away those who come to Him crying out in faith and seeking His face. Turn to Him today. Let us pray once again. Almighty and gracious God, we thank You so much for Your mercy to us in Christ. We thank You for these words of King David, this encouragement to seek grace from You, to seek Your kindness, Your love, and the wonderful promises that are given here. And so, Lord, we would seek Your word. We would seek counsel from Your word. We would seek protection from You. And, Lord, we pray that we might live lives that are pleasing in Your sight through faith in Your Son. Please forgive our sins, and Lord, bless us to follow after Christ no matter what opposition might occur, no matter what might come upon us. For we are Your servants, and we seek to follow Your laws, Your commandments, Your testimonies as our counselors. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.